This is the Brant and Sherry Podcast.
Hey there, I'm Brant. Sherry is here too. She's our show's producer. Yesterday, by the way, was International Hug Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not hug anyone yesterday. Except for my wife and my daughter.
Okay.
Other than that,
nothing.
No.
Because you don't let people boss you
not
around.
Not be pushed around. And normally it's like National Hug Day or mm-hmm. National this. I'm like, I'm not having the U.S. government tell me what to do.
It's not the government.
Brant. And in this case, it's international. Well, no governing body, uh-huh. whether it's the UN or League of Nations or NATO or whatever, is going to tell me when and not to hug.
I get it. All right. So that was yesterday. So today you're free to hug. So who did you hug today? Are you going around hugging people?
Yes, I am.
Who?
Secret, but I am. I'm hugging everybody. I guess some people want to do this. There's a service for guys. They'll send you a box full of clothes, mm-hmm. like once a week or something like that, with a new outfit. And it's all color coordinated, and it's picked out just for you.
And you've already, I guess, filled out some kind of survey or something
exactly.
to say what you like. Okay.
So they have stylists, and they'll give you this, and it's like, it'll cost like $500 a box, but it has socks, pants, shoes, sweater.
Hmm.
Like,
well, what's wrong with that?
It blows my mind.
Why?
Dudes just get stuff that goes, like, what I'm wearing today. Nothing doesn't go with these pants.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing doesn't go with the shirt.
So you have a white polo shirt
yeah.
on and khaki pants.
Yeah. There's nothing. And anything I pull out of my closet, it could be in the dark. I don't have to care. It's not going to clash. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Well, the one time he had burgundy pants on, I cared about that a little bit.
And I stopped wearing them.
Yes.
Because of the mockery, I stopped. So I hope you feel real good about yourself. Yeah, a lot of guys, honestly, I would just say, from a fashion, nobody asked me for fashion advice, but I would just say, just get stuff that matches, and then you don't have to ever think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just white, brown, black, whatever, mix them up, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but you had burgundy pants.
I did, and I stopped wearing them.
Because, why?
Because, A, you made fun of me, and B, other people made fun of me.
But I thought you said it doesn't matter.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that, in that case, I want to be known for me. I don't want people talking about my pants all the time. I want them to talk about my ideas. I want them to take me serious. And
well,
if it's all about my pants.
I'll tell you what, it was hard to take you seriously in those burgundy pants.
Apparently. There's a story that just continues to be awesome in the Bible, and it's where Jesus deliberately upsets everybody because he talks to a woman who's the wrong race. Well, she's a woman, so she's the wrong gender.
Mm-hmm.
She has a horrible background,
mm-hmm.
and it's highly immoral.
I mean, and everybody knows.
Everybody knows it. And he picks her not to just say, hey, it's okay that you're so messed up. I love you anyway. That's not it.
Mm-hmm.
He picks her to be the first missionary ever.
And it was on purpose.
On purpose.
The Bible says he said, I have to go through Samaria. And he stood at the well and he waited for her to get there.
And anybody watching that who had this high moral sensibility is like, not her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come seriously, her? And that's exactly who he picked. So, all this to say, true story. And then secondly, if you're somebody who is like, man, I'm immoral right now, like, he still wants you. Not only that, he will take your story and make something beautiful out of it. And because of it, I'm convinced of it, because he gets the credit for it, because you won't be somebody who's like, see, I got my act together. Look at this. The very fact that you will be humble means he's going to use you. In fact, he favors you. So the question is, are you going to turn to him or are you going to turn away from him? That's it. That's the question. You can still turn away from him in shame or rebellion if you want, or you can turn to him and go, you know what? I give up. Your love wins. Your love has won me over. We were talking about this great story in the Bible where it's scandalous to some people.
It's
really
my favorite chapter in the Bible.
Is it really?
John chapter 4 it is, because I just see how Jesus, I mean, he knows her background. He knows all the immoral things that she did. And if it's us and we're sitting at that well and she comes up and we know, that's the first thing we launch into.
Also, it's not just things she did.
Mm-hmm.
Does.
Yes, currently.
Present tense.
Yes.
So it's not like she's like, oh, I've cleaned myself up, so now I can present myself to you.
No, he knows everything that's going on in her life, and that's not the first thing he launches into. He goes to what the condition is, not the symptoms, because everything she's doing is because she needs him.
Right.
And so he tells her who he is and what he can do. And then, by the way, you're doing these other things. I just love his whole approach. and him being patient with her, her process of realizing who he is and what she needs. My favorite chapter.
He sends her out to become the first missionary ever. And then the people at her town are like, will you stay with us for a couple days?
Yeah.
And he says yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the spur of the moment, like in the moment, he says yes. Mm-hmm. Like, how many of us even have time? And God himself accepts this invitation from these people. And his father was like, these people are even the wrong race.
And he
what
stays there.
What are you doing? I love that. He's like, yeah, I'll stay. I love that. So we got a complaint?
We did.
And here's the complaint. So we left it on our... By the way, you can call.
Mm-hmm.
This is a terrible time to give the number. Like, complain.
if you have complaints.
Or say nice things.
Nice things are appreciated as well.
855-90-BRANT is our number. But here's the complaint.
Hi, guys. This is Chuck. And I just heard you speaking about the gentleman working at Consol Energy. Didn't like the hand scanner. You were very critical of him. And I don't agree with the way that you presented yourself. I thought it was... in a non-caring and a somewhat apathetic way.
Fair enough. And but I'll say this, that wasn't us.
That's not our show.
We never talked about that. And ha-ha! Woo! Once, every now and then, the complaint is false.
Because it's not our show.
That wasn't our show. It was somebody else. But that's okay. And he was real gracious.
Yes, he was.
He did
with
a good
whoever,
job.
Whoever show that was, I would have accepted that.
That's a nice complaint.
And this show has reached a new height that we're getting complaints from people who aren't even listening.
Stuff we haven't even said. Yes, and people that aren't even listening.
Are complaining.
It made me think, if I was listening, I was going to complain about something. Mm-hmm. I would start with, this is a little tip.
Okay.
That guy doesn't seem like he knows what he's doing.
Okay.
That would be my thing.
All right.
Like, why are you employing a guy on that show? This rant guy. Doesn't hit the right buttons. Doesn't talk right. Okay. Doesn't sound smooth.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my big complaint. Would you have another one?
Yeah, I have a list here, actually.
Okay, good.
So aliens and then robots.
Yeah, why is he talking about aliens?
Why are we always talking about robots? Why did he request DNA testing to see if he was a Viking?
Yes, that's a good complaint.
And then advice goats. Why do you have goats there giving advice?
I had some other stuff,
I still have some. The robotic penguin. Why did he ask for that?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to make a whole database, and you can just pick, and you can say, complaint 6, that's what I'd like to file. We were talking about complaining earlier. This guy left a message, and it was a complaint for the show. It actually wasn't for our show. We didn't talk about whatever it was, but it pointed something out. Like, there is a good way to complain, and the guy was really gracious about it, I thought.
Mm-hmm. He was, yes.
And I've gotten some complaints over time that I thank people for myself that have been about our show.
Been spot on.
And they've been on. And sometimes it's like, you know what? In life, if you approach somebody humbly and you don't seem like, you know what does it?
What?
Just dawned on me. When somebody complains and they're like, I still love you, I still listen to the show. It's not like this earth-ending, catastrophic, I'm done with you.
Yeah. Or some kind of spiritual judgment. That's hard for me to take, too.
Right. Again,
where it's like I'm making a big judgment about you as an individual.
Yeah, stay away from the catastrophic, universal, huge. Because I've gotten those, too. Like,
I have, too.
You are the embodiment of all that is evil. Well, you lost me. Because I'm not.
And that's hard to take.
I'm really not.
Yeah.
I don't think my wife or kids would say that.
Nor would I.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'll take that. I will take that as a compliment. Brant, you're not the embodiment of all that is evil. Thank you. It looks like the Patriots cheated. That's the way it looks right now.
That's what they're saying.
I'm not a Patriots fan. And it's so interesting how, depending on who you're a fan of, is how you view it.
That's life beyond football. Whatever your team is, somehow this everything is against your team. Oh my goodness, you guys! And now it's quote unquote haters.
Right. It's any team. It's like my politics, my affiliation with this cause or that cause. Anything, any negative information gets filtered through.
Yes.
So if I'm a Patriots fan, it's we didn't need to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I'm not a Patriots fan, I'm like, well, so why did you?
And, because you did. So we were just wondering why. That's not unfair to ask.
I got to tell you something, too.
Mm-hmm.
It dawned on me, have I ever cheated before?
Okay.
And the answer is yeah.
All right. Let's hear that story.
Okay, I will. I'll tell you this.
Okay.
It's a lot more than one time.
Okay.
But I will tell you one story, but I want you to think one, too. Because it's not going to be just me.
Okay, I'll think. All right.
Think about it.
All right.
You know what's weird is I still remember this. I cheated.
Mm-hmm.
It was eighth grade. It was an engineering contest.
Okay.
I'm a nerd. But you know what?
I know.
It was funny at the time.
Okay.
And I'm still embarrassed about it. There's a little bit of kick to the gut.
Okay.
Which there's a lesson in there.
Mm-hmm.
We were thinking about the Patriots and the subject of cheating and all that sort of stuff. So I don't want to act like it's no big deal.
Okay.
But it was a toothpick bridge building contest, and it was a statewide thing, and we won the state championship.
Okay.
Me and a couple friends. Mm-hmm. We built a bridge that was, from an engineering standpoint, so impeccable. But we cheated. We used a.
You cheated on your toothpick bridge?
Nobody's going to care about this.
This is unbelievable.
We used super glue. You're only supposed to use a certain kind of wood glue.
Uh-huh.
And so we were able to support much more weight. All this to say, the very fact that you're like, well, who cares?
Right.
Is exactly the point. Like, but I still remember it and I'm not proud of it.
Right.
I feel
you
guilty.
Shouldn't be. You're right.
So maybe I'm the weird one, but. Why? It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not.
It's just not worth it. And instead of, for example, in this football game,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be remembered for the fact that, well, we would have destroyed him anyway. Yeah, you would have. LeGarrette Blount had 145 yards rushing.
Right.
Not because of the deflated football. You would have. But you know what? No one's going to remember that. Everybody's going to remember you're cheating.
So you probably shouldn't have done that.
Right. That's all. Is that a point? Is it too obvious to even say?
No, that makes okay. perfect sense. And I want to make sure that you turned in your ribbon or whatever you won. Did you give it back?
We won $125.
Huh.
And we split it like three or four ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who to give the money to. But I would. I would. I honestly would. So you have to do your thing now.
Okay.
I told my cheating story. Again, not proud of it. Embarrassed.
Okay. I'm not proud of mine either.
Because it's very easy to get on a soapbox about the Patriots. And I, believe me, they should not have done that.
Right.
But just trying to point the finger back at myself. And I also want to point the finger at you. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Well, I love playing spades, the card game spades. And we were playing, you play with a partner against a team. And when we played, you could see that they were getting the better cards. So my friend, Trini, winked at me while he was dealing the rest of the cards, and then he dropped one on the floor. And then he said, everyone count your cards, and then he said, it's a missed deal. But he did it on purpose, and I knew that he did it on purpose.
Oh, to sabotage.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Hand.
So we'd have to redeal. And so my friend Tara, who has since gone home to be with the Lord, which makes it even worse, said to me, she says, you guys cheated. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And she goes, you cheated. Trini did that on purpose. And I was like, I don't know. And it was this huge blow up. It was kind of funny at the time because she stormed
terrible.
Out the, yeah,
right.
It was, there's my story.
Okay. Well, we're just, again, we've all done it.
Mm-hmm.
So not proud of it. It's wrong.
Yeah.
But trying not to get on our high horses about the Patriots. But the fact that you said that it makes it worse that she's gone.
And I told that story. She's my best friend growing up. That story at her homegoing service. Like, Tara, I'm so sorry. You're right.
She now has no more concerns, no more worries. She's at total peace, and that makes it worse. I guess I shouldn't laugh at that.
I'm sorry, Tara.
I'm sorry, too. I'm sorry. If you're new to the show, we kind of have the bases covered on the married single thing. Sherry's single.
Mm-hmm.
Always has been.
Yes.
I'm married and I feel like
your whole adult life practically, right?
Yeah, really my entire adult life.
Yeah.
I got married really young.
Mm-hmm.
And
why do you seem confused by that?
Well, I'm not confused. I'm just kind of thinking, could I fend for myself?
Oh, that's a great question.
I think I could.
Do you think?
I think my nutritional thing would
Brent,
drop like a rock.
Let me tell you something. I've seen when your wife, and I love Carolyn, I've seen when she's not been around. Like if she takes your daughter somewhere for a couple days.
What? What have you seen? Seriously.
Well, I've seen that you don't seem to. I mean, it's just toast and Parmesan cheese all day, every day.
That is nice. But you know what? I get really despondent is what happens. I get depressed.
Okay. Yes, I do see that too.
For like a half an hour. I'm like, yeah, I can do whatever I want.
Right.
And then I'm like, what? Who am I? What am I doing? I got married really young. You did too, huh?
I was 18 and he was 20, I think.
Huh.
21. Yeah, right in there. Yeah.
How long have you been married?
He's on the slide trying to ask you your age, Susan, which is unbelievable.
I knew that I would be accused of that.
That is quite sneaky. I don't do math well. I believe it's going to be 39 years.
Whoa!
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Did you have people telling you, it'll never work, you guys are too young, you don't know what you're doing?
There were some naysayers.
Okay.
And that's okay. We were pretty stubborn at that age, and we knew what we wanted. So that's kind of how that worked out.
And they're probably on your Facebook going, well, you still haven't proven anything to me. You know, whether you're single or married, it's best to just be content and be reconciled to whatever it is, or else you're in for misery. Honestly, single or married.
Mm-hmm.
You're married. Oh, but I missed this and that, and I want more time to just me. And if as long as you're chafing against marriage, you're not reconciled to it, it's going to be miserable.
Yeah, pining is difficult.
Yep.
That's why I've resolved myself not to do that and just be content where I'm at. And my mom, growing up, she would always say, we'd say, well, tomorrow or the next day. And she'd always say, who told you you have tomorrow? Who said you have that?
Huh.
And so that's how I think about it is, why am I pining for something that could happen when I have things happening now? I have people that I love now, which is, it's still difficult since I moved from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
The loneliness is there. I was never lonely until I got
You know what? We
here.
Should say, that's so interesting.
Okay.
If you don't mind me saying this.
Uh-huh.
Sherry made this observation, and this is after living in Pittsburgh, where you're around family and mm-hmm. friends, and you're plugged into African-American churches.
Uh-huh.
She said, I never realized I was single, really, until I moved here. And what she means by that is, she moved to a suburb where I happen to live, which is white.
Mm-hmm.
And the church is a lot more focused on single this, single that, singles ministry for singles, 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 singles. And the discussion is singlehood.
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case where you're from. And so now you're painfully aware of it.
Okay. You know, and it's always driven home. Like, you don't have anybody, but you can do this. You don't, you're all alone, but you can. And it's like, oh my goodness. Misery is setting in.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah. Because it was never a concern of mine. Clearly, I'm not a moron. I know that I wasn't married, but I was never lonely. I never thought about it. I always had friends and family, and we just were together all the time.
But by the way, whenever you bring up race, people can get defensive about it. Don't be defensive about it. Just think, from a friend, a friend had that observation.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize how single I was. Until,
I got here and I was like, you're really single.
Fascinating.
Super single.
I've appreciated that observation many times with people. Cliff wanted to talk about selfishness.
Marriage is hard, honestly. I mean, it's difficult at times because you can't think of yourself anymore. You know, you've always got to put that other person first. And I struggle with that myself, but, you know, that's probably one of the hardest things to do, is to constantly be thinking of that person and be putting that person first, because it's not about you anymore. It's about, you know, you and them together, and about that person. So.
Well, no kidding. And if it's not, like, if you don't have that mentality, you're in for misery.
A rude awakening.
Yes, big time, because it's not going to work. The marriage won't work if you're thinking, well, I'll get what I can out of this, and, you know.
And both people have to have the mindset of,
you're sunk.
It's about the other person.
This is... For you, if you're somebody who's struggling in a particular area because you realize I'm single and what God wants me to do is to sacrifice a certain aspect of my life, I'm called to not act on that. That is extremely difficult. I won't get into details because we have kids listening, but you know what I'm talking about. Or if you're married and that aspect of your life isn't incredibly awesome. That's most people, by the way. In fact, that's the vast majority of people. You know what? In our culture, we're taught, like, that's just intolerable. You just can't possibly live that way. There's no way. And yet, human experience is this. There are unmet desires in life. And that's just the way it means to be a human. And what's wonderful about God is he's not saying, you better not do this, you better not. He's acknowledging there's going to be a reward for this for people who are faithful. It's phenomenal. And yes, life is worth living, even if there are certain areas of our life that don't meet our expectations. Having desires that aren't met is being human. All of us have desires that are not going to be met. Instead of going, this is unjust, maybe we could say, you know what, God, I'm willing to sacrifice this for you. And he, from what I read, is incredibly honored by that. And that is no small deal. In fact, that's what's called an act of worship. Because you're dealing with something that you didn't want to deal with, but you're doing it and you're saying, God, I am yielding this to you. That's not just sacrifice. That's absolutely beautiful. We've been trying here on the program to come up with an awesome joke for It's So Cold That, and then we'd have a fresh new joke, like a new one that we come up with.
Right.
It hasn't been going so good.
Let's just be honest.
Yeah, in fact, not good at all. I do appreciate all the submissions.
Yes, people have called, and we've had some good ones. We just haven't had that Sherry. One that just kind of, yes.
Yeah, we had good ones.
We've had ones that have promise.
Okay.
I'm trying to be positive.
I know you are. And I was too. Okay, we can still do it. Let's do it. We still can. We absolutely can still do this.
Okay, there you
joke.
Go. See?
Here we go. Come
all
on.
Right. All right, guys. We
don't
can
get
do
discouraged.
This.
Something funny. Something that makes sense. I think that's what we should aim for.
Something that makes sense. Yeah, because that's the part we're missing.
Yeah. And a lot of people are like, since when does this show make any sense?
This is Glenn. And how about this for a cold joke? One my kids say very often. It's so cold, I saw a dog chasing a cat, and they were both skating. Bada boom. Huh.
Okay. They have ice skates on because it's so cold. There's ice, so they can't run like they normally do.
Are we essentially saying that there's ice? It's so cold. There's ice. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Why else would they be skating?
Okay. Right.
Unless it's roller skate. Right. Yeah. So okay. We could take a piece of that, right?
Yeah. Let's work on it.
Okay.
I saw a dog and a cat.
Mm-hmm.
The dog was.
Maybe they're not.
The dog wasn't chasing the cat. The dog was doing something. I saw a dog that stopped chasing the cat and then did something.
Built a fire.
Yeah. Built a fire. That's all. See? See how easy this is? I just saw this headline. I'm not making it up. How inspiring is this? It says, sitting will kill you, even if you exercise. That is the headline.
Okay.
So
I feel great about it already.
We're doomed. Highlights at 11. Like, hey, thanks a lot. I'm hoping this turns into an awesome, inspiring story. Our fish, Joffrey, is just kind of lying there at the bottom. He's very sick. It didn't look good.
Okay.
He's just lying there.
He
just
is alive,
lies
though.
On his side. Yeah, he sees gills going out. He's just lying there.
When you put food in the water, does he eat it?
He didn't care.
Okay. All right.
I guess he eats it sometime we're not watching or something. Okay. Maybe he just lies there. Maybe he waits for it to fall down. But I'm thinking this could be a great story because every great like Rocky type story is you're down and then he's gonna rally. Yeah. So it's been the last 2 months of just like, hey, let's start the rally here.
I don't want to be negative here, but I don't see Joffrey running up any steps, I think.
See, Joffrey, use this. use this as inspiration.
As a catalyst.
She doesn't think you can start swimming again. Sherry.
I'd be happy to see it happen.
Doesn't believe in you. Show her wrong, man.
Joffrey.
Come on, Joffrey. Come on. There's this guy who says he's becoming, he was a pastor, and he says he's become an atheist.
Hey, I saw that.
Yeah, and it made NPR and stuff. They love talking about that kind of stuff. But he's like, yeah, but I still want to work with the homeless because I still believe in justice. I still believe in mercy. I'm like, dude, God bless you. But there's no such thing as justice if there's no God. There really isn't. I'm sorry. We can pretend. We can all get together and agree on something if we want. But
because there'd be no way to define it.
No. Yeah. It's survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have if you know that justice is right and you know mercy is right, I applaud that. But you can't offer a grounding for it if there's no God. You just can't. And it takes about 2 minutes or less to dissect that argument and go, you know what, this planet's going to burn out. We're a speck on a speck in a meaningless galaxy. And then we're gone. Mm-hmm. It's in a universal heartbeat, just a flash of an instant.
So why help someone? Why do something for anyone?
Just to hear one speck go, well, justice means like, yeah. If there is a God, though, it does matter. And what you're doing is wonderful and beautiful and poetic. And I have a belief that deep down, he's doing it because he knows there's still a God. We all have denial on some things where we believe and we don't at the same time. I think the reason you know mercy matters and justice matters and love matters is because there's a God who is capital L love.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Follow Brant on Twitter @Brant Hansen and on the web @BrantHansen.com.